Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved. And the host of the show is Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. And today we're going to be talking to Carol just a few minutes from now, just a few seconds from now, actually, about her recent trip with the White House Press Corps, along with President Barack Obama, to the 70th anniversary of D-Day in Normandy, with stops in Poland and Brussels along the way. That's coming up in just a moment, but I do want to tell you that Steve Wiseman will be here talking with a fascinating woman, Harriet Thompson, 91 years young, recently smoked the competition at the Rock and Roll San Diego Marathon. She finished the 26.2-mile course in 7 hours, 7 minutes, 42 seconds, shattered the marathon distance record for 90 to 94-year-old women by more than an hour and a half, with an average pace of 16 minutes per mile. Wow. And Steve is also going to talk about the GAO and financing of long-term care. We've got a good program for you, so let's jump right into it. We're talking with Carol Marks, who, of course, is the host of the program and occasionally is the guest on the program, because Carol Marks is an amazing woman, and she just did another one of her amazing journeys that we have the benefit of hearing about. Carol went on a trip with the president and the White House Press Corps between June 2nd and June 6th during the 70th anniversary of D-Day. She went on this multifaceted trip, first to Warsaw, then to Brussels, and then to Normandy. Brussels, the G7, Warsaw, celebration of the fall of the communism in Poland, and, of course, Normandy, D-Day. Carol, that is an amazing trip for you to go on, and I say that only because anybody over the age of 50 or 40 going on one of those grueling White House press corps trips, it's like going to journalism boot camp. But yet you lived to tell the tale, didn't you?
I sure did. And I was so glad I had the opportunity and the honor to go, because as a White House press corps journalist, mm-hmm. I had never accompanied the president on an international trip. And I was so moved by the places that we were going to go to.
Well, before we get into that, what made you want to even do this? What was this something you always wanted to do?
Yes, wow. Something that I always wanted to do. I wanted to see what all has to go into putting together an international trip, and I particularly wanted to go on this one because it was honoring the 70th anniversary of D-Day, and it was my chance a little way to be there and honor our veterans who fought so bravely during the World War II.
You know, I find it hard to believe at this point in my life that it's 70 years since D-Day, that World War II, those of us of our generation, you look at that and you say, oh my gosh, look how many decades have gone by since World War II. And this D-Day, the 70th anniversary, really brought that home. Before we talk about D-Day and Omaha Beach and all that, let's go to part one of the trip. You went to Warsaw in Poland. Why did the president go to Warsaw, and what were your impressions?
Well, he went to Warsaw. He was invited to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the collapse of the communist regime in Poland. And he gave a wonderful, wonderful speech, and he was received so well and warmly in Poland. If he got that reception in this country, why, his ratings would be quite different.
Isn't it amazing, though, how sometimes world leaders are popular around the world and unpopular at their home, or the opposite. They're very popular at home and unpopular elsewhere. That's a very common thing. So he got a warm reception from the people in Poland. Who were the people? What kind of people did he see?
Well, he saw all the dignitaries that were in Poland, and the military, the university people, the people in just ordinary people, the king, but all the politicians. And, you know, I thought he said something that was so memorable, and he said it, you know, because he can speak very, very well at times, because he remarked that the free nations of the world during World War II, and we certainly were one of them, we invested a tremendous cost, our sons, our families, really to put Europe back together. And then he went on to say, it just doesn't make sense to allow the dark times of this century to repeat those former times of the 20th century. And, of course, he was referring to Russia's occupation of Crimea. And, you know, the way he said it, you really got it.
No question. The next part of the trip was Brussels, Belgium, where the G7 summit took place. And you went along on that leg of the trip. Now, the recent elections in Europe have seen the rise of radical parties on both the right and the left, which support their country's nationalist policies and anti-immigration policies. What was the main response of the G7 leaders in Brussels to these election results, which are also essentially anti-European Union and oftenly markedly pro-Russian?
Well, the official speeches that came out were very, very gentle. They skidded around those facts. But what I really found interesting, I went to a press conference which had Prime Minister David Cameron of the United Kingdom and President Obama talking about the G7. And they said some very hard, practical things which the countries of the conference hadn't said, and that was that the EU's got to reform, it's gotten too powerful, too complex, a bureaucracy, and countries find it very hard to get past all the rules and regulations and get new initiatives started. So I thought that was also something very interesting.
Were they concerned about corruption in terms of these countries? I know that corruption seems to be a very big issue among people here in this country.
It is, and it's rampant in every country, I think, in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think Prime Minister of the United Kingdom really put it very well when he said that corruption is the arch enemy of democracy and development, and it's really a cancer eating away at the world's economic and political systems. And when he was asked at the conference by a reporter what did he think was the best way to fight corruption, he said to drive growth, you really had to have the three T's, and that's transparency, fair tax systems, and free trade. So I like the fact that he put it in a very simple way that everyone could understand.
Hmm. Now, what about the economies? Did they talk about economic growth and I don't know. You mentioned something about an important demographic phenomenon that's going on now in Europe that's not being properly addressed that will affect the growth of new jobs for their citizens. What's going on?
Well, the number of older people in every country, and I particularly learned about the ones in the EU, is increasing. And as a result, they need more services, and that means there's less money in their budgets for other things. And in conjunction with that, the fertility rates are dropping, which has resulted in a rapidly growing number of migrant workers coming in to fill jobs. And also, when you look at a particular country such as Poland, 60% of young workers are employed under junk contracts, which means they receive no benefits, pensions, or health care. And that was quite something to find out.
Now, is there a problem of a increasing rate of poorly educated, impoverished young unemployed men? And if that's true, what is the impact of that?
Well, their frustrations make these young men really prime prospects for militias and terrorist groups, and I think that we are seeing a little bit of that in this country.
How about the fact that we hear that there's a rise in anti-Semitism in Europe in general? Did you see anything to indicate that? Did you talk to any Jewish leaders about it?
Well, I did. I talked to, we had a Jewish guide who had lived through most of the Holocaust, and he said that, yes, they are very concerned because they see these parties not becoming dominant, but strong enough to have a greater influence over their country's policies. And even though, you know, as I say, the moderate left and right parties will still retain the majority, And in this country, the American Jewish Committee has said that several parties that promote hatred got strong support, so they are very concerned.
Now, you know, when you were in Warsaw, Warsaw is one of the scenes historically of some of the worst anti-Semitism of World War II and the build-up toward World War II. Any aspect of it that you found out that's new to you in terms of the Polish people and their feeling about their history with that and with the Jewish people in general?
Well, Poland holds a world record for having the largest number of people by nationality who rescued Jews from certain death, and the figure's up to 450,000, and 50,000 Poles were executed by the Nazis for saving Jews, and I certainly, you know, didn't know that.
Are they proud of it? Do they seem to tout that as something that they're proud of?
Yes, and when I found in Poland, although of course there are hardly any Jews there anymore, mm-hmm. that so many Jewish sites have been preserved by the Polish people now, and the political figures as well. So that says, you know, quite a bit for them.
We're talking with Carol Marks about her recent trip with the President and the White House Press Corps to Poland, Brussels, and Normandy. And we're going to talk a little bit about the D-Day part of that trip coming up in just a moment. I'm Michael Harrison, and you're plugged into A Touch of Gray.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we've been talking with the host of the program, Carol Marks, about her recent trip with President Barack Obama and the White House Press Corps to Poland, Brussels, and now we're going to discuss the Normandy leg of a very, very big and educational excursion. Okay, from there, from the G7 and from Warsaw, you went to the beaches of D-Day. Now, tell us how that trip unfolded. What was the first beach that you went to?
Well, the first beach that I went to was at Omaha Beach. And, of course, that was the beach that was the bloodiest of the D-Day beaches. And an awful lot of our troops died there, wounded or were missing. So it was, you know, you could not help but be moved. And then seeing all the veterans that were at Omaha Beach, and they were so honored. And, you know, I also thought, my goodness, this might be the last time that they're able to visit this place. So that was terribly moving.
Yes, as again, back to, as we said before, it's been so many years. This is a fading generation, and it's the sunset of that era. Certainly not one that should ever be forgotten, though, and that's an important part of our education process. You know what they say, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And also, one of the sayings that has come out of all that is never again, you know, that never let the scourge of Nazism ever grow again, because it's inside the human condition. It could always happen again. I believe that. I don't know how you feel, but I think there's always the danger of that type of
absolutely,
nature.
Absolutely, because the desire to blame somebody,
yes,
a group of people, or something for your problems is something that human beings have expressed, unfortunately, throughout history.
Now, knowing you, you studied up on this before you went. So not only did you learn from the experience, you learned going into the experience. So what did you come away with? What did you learn that perhaps surprised you about this? About
D-Day? I want to tell you that I read an excellent book by Stephen Ambrose called D-Day, June 6, 1944. He's a great writer, and I never realized how much our troops had suffered from faulty intelligence. We didn't know how well the beaches, you know, were fortified. The cliff they had to climb on was completely camouflaged. We didn't realize the ropes we needed to climb the cliff would become too wet and heavy to use. And this is what really surprised me, was the fact that many of the paratroopers that we flew in, you know, behind German lines to prevent a counterattack against our seaborne troops, they were killed or taken prisoner before they could cut loose from their parachute harnesses. And the British had a far better system for getting out of their harnesses, which we later adopted. And I found that was amazing. And I was finally shocked to learn how many of our military drowned and died because they were carrying too much equipment. And when I learned what they were carrying, I mean, it just was a no-brainer. It was way too much.
It's very disconcerting to hear that. And, again, not surprising. Well, listen, I imagine, you know, a lot of this is intellectual, a lot of this is academic, but it's also very emotional. Now you've done this, you've been on this trip. How do you feel about it? How are your emotions regarding this?
Well, you know, my emotions were and are very raw, and I think who lives and dies during traumatic life-changing events remains, you know, the biggest mystery of them all. But what really remains embedded in me is the heroism and self-sacrifice that so many people displayed in the face of unimaginable horror. And it all came to light on this trip, and the good part of humanity. And as I say, we can't let this happen again. And as President Obama said in his speech, which I hadn't heard before, that not only would we defend Ukraine against further invasion, but he went on to say that we would also defend Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Romania. So there you go, you know, drawing the line.
On a lighter note, in conclusion, because there are so many aspects to this which were an experience for you, and your life is about gathering experiences and learning, what insights do you have about the working press that cover the president? You hung around with a lot of reporters, and it was almost like a camping trip, I hear. It was not the most comfortable trip. It was not a luxury cruise. It was rough hours, rough accommodations, bad food, bitter coffee. I mean, I was following you on all this,
yeah,
and you haven't complained, but
no time to eat, and you had every time I did anything, I had to file a report. So there was an awful lot of writing. Most of the correspondents only took a overnight bag for the trip because you can't get your clothes washed.
Oh,
okay, and all that
so
good stuff.
It was like being in a locker room at a basketball game.
But yeah. they're used to it, and a lot of them were going right to another trip with the president after this one. So they're very, very, very competitive. And when they're trying to get a photograph, they practically kill each other, mow each other down. People get hurt. It is so competitive.
What did you use for a weapon to knock them out of your way? Did you hit them over the head? I mean, how did they treat you? How did they feel about a woman of your great dignity being amongst them?
They were surprised. They were very surprised, and they were very, you know, very nice. And, you know, kind of, you know, applauded the fact that I had gone and said that they hoped that they could be able to do that at my age.
Well, God bless you, I got to tell you. You know, it was a great experience. Anything you want to add?
No, it was, as I say, it was just incredible. And I just say one thing that, you know, of course, everything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Oh boy.
But when we went to the DJ celebrations and the Queen of England was there and everybody was there, no one knew where the White House press corps seats were.
Oh, boy.
Not the Secret Service. Not the White House.
Oh, my.
No one. So I thought that was rather amusing, and it was very time-consuming to find out where we were.
Oh, my gosh. Did you ask the Queen? Did she show you where to go?
No.
Were you mistaken for the Queen?
No. She got a very warm reception, by the way.
Did you get a good look at her?
Obama.
Did you get a good look at these people?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And, you know, so that was wonderful. And they did have, and by the way, I don't know if it was reported in this country, but President Obama and Putin did get together while they were standing in the hallways and did exchange some conversation.
Interesting. Carol, thank you so much for sharing this with our audience and for doing what you do. And there you have it, Carol Marks, in conversation with yours truly about her trip to Poland, her trip to Brussels, and her trip to Normandy. Another very interesting adventure that she shares with her listeners from the perspective of being a seasoned citizen who cares. Thank you, Carol Marks. I'm Michael Harrison. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine joins us next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined at this time in the program customarily by Kevin Casey. Kevin Casey is not only a senior correspondent on this program, he is the vice president and executive editor of two trade publications that serve radio. One is Talkers at talkers.com for talk radio, and the other is Radio Info at radioinfo.com for music radio. Let's talk about talk radio because, as we mentioned last week, there was a recent conference, a convention of talk show hosts and people in the talk radio business in New York City put on by Talkers Magazine. And, Kevin, I do believe that by the time this program airs this weekend around the country, there will be videos of the various speeches at the conference. And people find that interesting, don't they?
Yeah, it's that whole idea where people like to look behind the curtain and see how it's done and what comes out of their speaker is made and what the people who are making the content, the talk shows, what they're thinking about. And how they think about their industry that they work in.
We got some pretty interesting people. We have Mike Francesa from Sports Talk Radio talking about the state of that. Sean Hannity talking about the state of talk radio. For those who are interested in marketing, there's a whole discussion about the sales. I moderate a panel called The Big Picture, in which we talk about new media. You moderate a panel about the state of talk radio programming. We have a panel of people talking about how they manage their careers. The very well-known Lionel, one name Lionel, moderated the talk Rumble with people from the left, people from the right, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. And what were some of the awards we were giving away, if you recall?
We had the Freedom of Speech Award, which was given out this year to Tom Hartman, a progressive talk show host, a man very deserving of it in the work that he's done over the course of his career.
Do you find that people often, and, you know, obviously it's a leading question because I work at talkers too, but do you find that people sometimes when you give the Freedom of Speech Award think that you're endorsing that kind of speech, and thus, as you mentioned, he's a progressive, that now Talkers is a liberal publication?
Absolutely they do. And, you know, for people who don't pay much attention to industry awards like this, a good analogy would be the Academy Award. For example, you could give an award to someone who was in a movie that had to do with violence, and you're not endorsing violence. You're giving them an award for being, you know, an excellent actor. You freedom of speech can be about any vein of political speech or even non-political speech, if you really wanted to look at it that way.
Well,
it's a very hard thing to defend because people get so passionate about their politics.
I do want to point out, though, the Talkers magazine is nonpartisan, and its only partisanship is in supporting the First Amendment. And as a result, over the years, and this thing's been going on almost a quarter century, hosts have received it who are liberals, conservatives, and some people get it who aren't even political, but do something artistically bold or stand up for freedom of speech by defending somebody else. So it definitely is a nonpartisan situation. Kevin, do appreciate it. Folks, if you want to see the videos of the Talkers New York 2014 conference, if you're interested in peeking behind the scenes at what goes on in our industry, go to the website talkers.com. There's no cost whatsoever for this. It's there for you because you're an interested talk radio listener. Thank you, Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine, talkers.com. I'm Michael Harrison. Steve Wiseman joins us in just a moment here on A Touch of Gray.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment, or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to go the rest of the way with our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, in conversation now with a fascinating woman, Harriet Thompson. She's 91 years young and recently smoked the competition at the Rock and Roll San Diego Marathon. That's right. She finished the 26.2-mile course in 7 hours, 7 minutes, and 42 seconds, shattering the marathon distance record for 90- to 94-year-old women by more than an hour and a half. That's amazing. The average pace was 16 minutes per mile. She's going to talk to Steve about her youthful vigor.
Good God, woman, you're a miracle.
Awfully kind to say that.
Not really. I'm just recognizing. First of all, you didn't do your first marathon till, was it 76?
I did. I was sitting in my choir one day, and the girl was collecting checks. And I said, what's that for? And she said, it's for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. They're having a rock and roll marathon out in San Diego, and I'm going to walk the marathon. And I thought, well, I could do that. And so that's how it got started.
Wow. Now, how do you train?
Well, normally I would train with the team in training for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. But this year I was having radiation done on my legs, and I thought I'd be able to train, but because they were all open, I wasn't able. It really was very bad idea to do it before my run. And that was just 6 weeks before the marathon. So I couldn't really train right up to then. But normally I would train on Saturdays and go maybe 8 miles. But this year I couldn't do that. And they also meet on Tuesday nights, and we have a little setup that they have little exercises, and then we run around the track at the Y. But that, too, I wasn't able to do. But I did go to the Y and do some an hour of elliptical on the elliptical machine. I did that a couple of times before this marathon. So I really wasn't prepared to do 26.2, and I was very glad that I got to the end.
You know, it is truly amazing how mental is the marathon, because I would seem to think that there is a significant mental component to be able to do a, 26 miles.
I think it is, and I am fortunate because I have been disciplined with my music, and I'm a pianist, and I give concerts, and I have lots of music in my mind, and I find that that's something that really helps me in between. In San Diego they have a band.
Yep.
And drums and everything. Well, when that's not going on, I think about my music, and I mentally think about that as I'm running. But I also think it's a matter of just being determined and not be negative when you're running. Just keep thinking, I'll do it.
Now, you are married, is that right?
I'm married.
And your marriage is another marathon. How long have you been married?
Well, we're happily married, I can say, in 67 years. In fact, our 67th anniversary was the day after the marathon, so I wasn't home, but we celebrated when I came home. But it was 67 years, and we were married 2 hours after we graduated from college.
That's terrific. And so it looks like this marriage, you think this one's going to work, huh?
Yeah, I think it'll work.
Oh, okay. What's your husband think about your marathoning? Is he very physically active as well?
Well, he runs every morning, but not very fast. And he doesn't even consider doing a marathon. But he did do a 5K with me the week before.
Wow.
We ran a 5K. It was the Memorial Day weekend.
Do you have a special diet that you and your husband do?
Well, no. I just try. I have a hard time staying away from sugar. But I really think that's not a good idea. And I drink a lot of water and try to eat healthy. No, not too much alcohol.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to have just the right amount of alcohol. I'm still trying to work that out, but I'm sure you
I'd are say too. Maybe one glass of red wine every now and then wouldn't hurt.
No, they say that that's good for you. Now, I know you have run as a fundraiser for cancer research. And when did you find out that you had cancer yourself?
Well, everyone in my family died of cancer. And I had cancer first when I was 85. I had cancer of my throat. It was the palate. And they operated for 8 hours and got all of the cancer. And then I had to have what they call an obturator, which covered the hole in my mouth. Mm-hmm. But this time, the cancer came back in 2010. And that was very serious because I lost the roof of my mouth. And now I have a big obturator that has teeth on it, and I can't talk really as well as I used to.
Sound pretty good to me.
You still understand me, I think. Anyhow, that's saving my life, and that's attached to one tooth. And if I lose that tooth, I won't be able to talk. So I'm really careful about that tooth.
Now, you're also mentioning, which is astounding to me, that you had been undergoing radiation treatment how close to the time of your last marathon?
Well, that was when I was having it on my legs for squamous cancers on my mm-hmm. legs. And that was 6 weeks before I ran. So they're just now, they look terrible, but they're not swollen anymore, and it's all healed up. It's just that my legs are sort of a dark red and blue from the radiation, which I hope will go away, color.
You must burn a lot of calories in a marathon, so I guess it certainly helps you keep your weight in check, huh?
Oh, yeah, I think that's I'm just sort of an average weight. I went down to 96 pounds, which was too little, when I first was going through the getting rid of my teeth and I got rid of the infection. And then since then I've gained about, I'm up to about 110 now.
What would your advice be to seniors as far as people saying, well, you know, I haven't exercised for much of my life and it's too late for me to get up and exercise? What would your message to them be?
Well, living here at this old folks' home, it's the Cypress in Charlotte, and it's really lovely. They have exercises, and I think anybody, if they start out doing maybe half an hour of some sort of exercising. Walking is very good, and then speed up your walking. Eventually, maybe you can run a little bit, but I just think it's something that anybody can do as long as their legs are all right.
Yeah, and you know, it's awful hard to hit a moving target, and you must be doing something really right. Is your husband your biggest cheerleader?
Well, I have 5 children, and they all are very encouraging. They thought I was maybe trying to do too much when I did the marathon, but now I think they're happy that I did it.
Well,
but one went with me this last time. My son Brenny went with me and was really wonderful. He helped me by sprinkling me with water when I got too hot. And he would find good things like orange slices and pretzels that I could eat while I was running. And
see,
he kept the people from stopping me because everybody noticed how old I was. They wanted to have their picture taken with me.
Oh, my goodness. All their selfies.
Don't stop her. Just do a selfie. So that's what he helped me a lot on
that's
this run.
Well, it's terrific. You really, Harriet, you're an inspiration to us all.
I
wish you well. And good luck in your next marathon and this marathon of life.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing the one next June, but I'm going to start right now to exercise and get ready for that.
That's Harriet Thompson, 91 years young, recently completed and broke the record for the 26.2-mile course, the Rock and Roll San Diego Marathon. She busted the record for 90 to 94-year-old women. Steve Wiseman conducted that interview, great lady. And Steve will be back in a moment to discuss the Government Accountability Office and the financing of long-term care. That's next on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Michael Harrison in the anchor chair as we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast and more information from Steve Wiseman. Steve's here now to discuss the GAO, that's Government Accountability Office and Financing of Long-Term Care. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, the Government Accountability Office, or GAO, is a governmental agency that's one of the few that really people trust. What they do is they do studies, often requested by Congress, to come up with legitimate investigations of very important topics. And they're bipartisan, actually they're nonpartisan, and they really do excellent work. In the past, they've been one of them that identified the major problems with identity theft going on at the Internal Revenue Service. But recently, they just completed a much-awaited report dealing with long-term care in America today, and particularly Medicaid and the role of Medicaid. And they were looking at how people were applying for Medicaid and what people were doing with their assets, because as you may know, Medicaid is a needs-based program whereby you, and also assets-based program whereby you have to qualify in order to be eligible. But there's always been this underlying rumor going around about Medicaid millionaires, people who are having millions of dollars but somehow use legal strategies to avoid using their money for their own care. Well, the GAO did a study a few years ago that debunked that and showed that, in fact, no effective number of people were having those kinds of assets and using Medicaid. In this particular study, they showed what people were doing as far as their planning. And frankly, there wasn't a lot of planning going on. The leading healthcare challenge of the early 21st century is long-term care and how we're going to finance it. And for too long, the government has really played ostrich and stuck its head in the sand. You know, there are a lot of reasons why this is a problem. The government programs, Medicare and Medicaid, that were set up in the 60s to help people from having to be totally impoverished and get medical care services, just are outdated. They're not up to date. Second, we're all living longer, and as we live longer, more people are in need of long-term services. Frankly, most of the long-term care is done by family members at home, but after a while, there are a lot of people who don't qualify for being able to stay at home and do need to go into some sort of a nursing home facility. The reason I bring it up today is it really is a time for everyone to be looking at how they are doing their own long-term care planning. Long-term care insurance is an option for some, but not really for everyone. Using various kinds of life insurance with long-term care binders in there. That's something that also is an option for others. The use of Medicaid and being able to arrange one's assets to be eligible for Medicaid for middle-class people is something as well. But frankly, what it's going to take is the government to get involved with some kind of program that does spread this out. And by that I mean having private pay, Social Security, Medicare, all of the above get involved to deal with this, because frankly, for too long we've just put our heads in the sands and avoided dealing with this problem. It's not just a government problem, and so everyone really should look into long-term care planning for themselves, and the earlier you do it, the better.
Thank you, Steve Wiseman, and check out Scamicide.com, his website. Thank you, Beverly Santinella on the front line, our producer. Thank you to Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine. And certainly thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. On behalf of all of us at A Touch of Gray, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend here on this great station for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.